God's eternal judgment. It is He who cast the sinful and wicked angels in heaven down to hell, delivering them into chains of darkness until the final day of judgment. And God's eternal judgment did not spare those of the old world, but brought the great flood upon them, taking all the world of the wicked away, saving only righteous Noah and his house. After the flood, God made a covenant with Noah to never again cut off all flesh by the waters of a flood, and that neither would there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. God placed the rainbow into the sky as a token of his covenant between himself and the earth. The chosen apostle Simon, who was also called Peter, wrote in a letter to the disciples of Jesus, God's principle and eternal judgment in regards to the earth and all the elements that he created. And in the book of 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter, verses 9 and 10. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. The great and last day of judgment, prophesied through the voice of angels, chosen prophets, and in these last days, God's Son Jesus. Could the military forces of all the nations of this earth prevail against it? Will those who do not believe it will happen prevent its arrival? Undeniably, God has made known to all his intention to execute this final judgment. And most certainly on that day, all mankind will be convinced of God's omnipotence and of his eternal judgment. The great day of judgment will come like a thief in the night. The heavens shall pass away, the elements shall be melted, and the earth and all the works in it shall be burned up. Even so, as the Apostle Simon Peter wrote, God does not delight in the death of any who give themselves to wickedness. Hear God's questions in regards to his judgments recorded by his prophet Ezekiel. And in the book of Ezekiel, in the 18th chapter, in the 23rd verse, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? God takes great pleasure in turning the wicked from the ways of death to life. As God created this earth for making a treasured people who someday will dwell with him, God utilizes his judgments, authority, and power to accomplish his great plan. He stretches out his hand and makes himself known, saying, I am the Lord your God. I am great in counsel and mighty in work, for there is nothing too hard for me. I teach what is good and what is just, showing mercy to those who walk humbly with me. The authentic and historical account of God's works are chronicled in the Bible for all to learn from. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God? Thousands of years ago, the descendants of a man named Jacob, who was also called Israel, were delivered by God from bondage and out of the kingdom of Egypt, showing forth to all in the world his judgment, his power, and similitude of what was to come. God chose a man named Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, who summarized God's work of salvation in the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, verses 6 to 8. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried to the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs and with wonders. The full account of all the great things that God did to deliver the children of Israel can be found in the book of Exodus. This example of God's imminence is also a similitude of baptism and the way of salvation his Messiah would bring. The apostle Saul, who was also called Paul, taught to the disciples of Jesus in Corinth that when the children of Israel were under the cloud and passed through the sea, all were baptized to Moses. In like manner, the disciples of Jesus are immersed in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, where they have been made alive in the Spirit and are baptized into Jesus. The Lord God of our fathers brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with signs and with wonders. After being saved from the Egyptians, the children of Israel did not enter immediately into the earthly promised land, which is also a similitude to the way of redemption brought to this earth by Jesus. After being saved from sin in baptism, the disciples of Jesus do not enter immediately into the heavenly promised land. Why, after confessing faithfulness to God, does he not instantaneously give the promised reward? Hear what Moses told the children of Israel concerning God's judgment. And in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the 2nd verse, "And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or no." The children of Israel were not delivered out of Egypt by God because they were righteous and faithful to him. He was honoring the covenant he made with their forefather, faithful Abraham. After passing through the Red Sea, it was God's judgment to prove the children of Israel. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness before being led into the earthly promised land. So also, after rising from the waters of baptism, it is God's judgment to prove the disciples of Jesus in their journey. And after the great and final day of judgment, all will be led into the heavenly promised land. The Lord your God proves you to know what is in your heart and whether you will keep his commandments or not. Moses also wrote that God was not pleased with many of the children of Israel because they did not fully heed his commandments. And in Numbers, the 32nd chapter and the 13th verse, "And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed." While Moses was receiving the commandments written on stone, the people lusted after evil things. They made an idol to worship and declared, "These be your gods, O Israel, which brought you out of Egypt." They also spoke against God and Moses, saying, "Have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" And in one day alone, 23,000 died for committing the sin of fornication. God is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but by no means does that clear the guilty. Of those that were originally delivered out of Egypt, most did not see the earthly promised land, which God swore to Abraham. God made them wander until all the generation that had done evil was consumed. The apostle Saul also exhorted the disciples of Jesus at Corinth that God exemplifies his eternal judgments by what took place during the Exodus. And in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 11 and 12, "Now all these things happened to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." God, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, has endeavored throughout the millennia to furnish all with knowledge of his purpose and judgments. Ignorance or unbelief of them will not be justifiable on the great and last day of judgment. With patience and long-suffering, God waits for the earth to bring forth fruit to him. He opens the eyes of the blind, giving truth and light to those who walk in lies and darkness, showing kindness, love, and mercy to all, as he knows that the harvest draws near. These things were written for our admonition. Wherefore let us take heed, lest we fall. David the prophet, who was also a king over Israel, wrote of his willingness to be tried and proven by God. And in Psalms, the 139th chapter, verses 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way of everlasting." God's eternal judgment. There will be no wickedness or evil in the new heaven and the new earth, a place that God has prepared for those who humbly obey his commandments. In that great and heavenly city, God himself will dwell with his children. The prophet David had a great desire to someday dwell eternally with God. Knowing that he could not run or hide from him, he humbled himself. Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven. The old world was destroyed by flood. Search me, O God, and lead me in the way everlasting. Please take the time to study and examine his words.